Hey folks, a little bit of a programming note here. There are portions in this podcast, especially in the beginning, that'll be difficult to listen to due to some audio errors that were encountered with the encoding of the video by Google and the Hangouts. They did not appear in the live broadcast. Also, the video has the same error, so I apologize. We're going to do some things to make sure that this does not happen again. Usually Google Hangouts is pretty good, but this time I got burned by them. But hopefully there's enough here to listen to and keep you interested. And I again apologize for the audio errors. And on with the show. Welcome, everybody, to episode 327 of WordPress.
Hello, hello. How are you, Jeff?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, actually. Had a pretty good weekend. Having a decent week thus far. Really enjoyed our conversation with Scott Clark.
Yeah, me too.
Last week, it was pretty cool. Just ending the show on a ukulele was cool.
That we should have been doing that for a long time now. I feel like we need someone to play us out every show, and I have nothing. I have no instruments or.
On today's show, we were scheduled to have, we have to. It's only an editor that's going to change almost everything about WordPress. You kind of have to talk about it. So today we do have some interesting topics. We'll get you caught up on the news. Don't get mad at us. We're just you are so inclined to do so. But today, this came out yesterday. Syed Balrog to their criteria, but this doesn't mean that WordPress businesses don't have the potential. It's quite the opposite. They have a lot of potential, and there are tons of opportunities to grow in the WordPress ecosystem with the right playbook, and I want to help prove that, end quote, and that's by Syed. So founders will be given a lot of advice, although they won't be required, and I want to help prove that, end quote, and that's by Syed. So founders will be given a lot of advice, although they won't be required to act on it. The backers say that they'll maintain a hands-off approach as much as possible. And there you go. Now, to be eligible for this, you got to fill out a form. Your board shows the market challenges to direct competitors. This might sound crazy, but this could easily be a super scummy way to gain access to untapped areas of the WordPress ecosystem. That was the comment left by Eric. You know, and there's that viewpoint, and there's smart. I think it's pretty cool. If they're selected, maybe that's a shot in the arm to get them. If they're selecting me, that's a shot in the arm to get them to the next level.
I mean, known through the years and hung out with the Cabo Press and everything else that, imagine my surprise to see this published without really hearing anything more about it. And so I'll skip the he said, she said of what a conversation was that happened in my capital P fund.
Which I actually think that's cool.
I thought that was pretty clever myself. Yeah. But along the same lines of this is to take influential and experienced founders that have a reputation for building good products and building companies specifically around the WordPress space to give them a funnel or an outlet or a very familiar way via a VC type of approach to helping Word and to duplicate their own.
How long ago before you shared the idea? When was this?
Still discussing it with people because but when I saw the comment that like you posted or that was posted on the Tavern article about it, the idea without me wouldn't. My personal experience is that my idea was not safe. And so that is what makes this the hardest for me personally, which is hearsay other than the third person who is sitting at the table, which it's up to them. These people end up on a board of directors. They are influencers in a business. They are stakeholders in the future of a company, like, and big acquihires and mergers and things that have happened. And so there are people that have successfully exited from companies that want to stick around in WordPress. And so they're not going to do that by writing the next cool plugin. They're going to do that by bootstrapping other companies. And
well, John, you finally had a good one.
I did have a well, maybe, maybe well, not. Yeah. But I think I'm happy to see Syed involved in an idea like this, because he has an enormous amount of experience and insight to provide. That is very rare, to be honest, in the WordPress community, from a really super unique perspective, kind of, you know, more startup life than it is, you know, in the drudges writing plugins and hoping to scrape by. But it's risky, I think, if it's if your idea or your invention is potentially at risk.
Everything you've told me is not safe. I'll just tell you that much right now.
I feel very unsafe with you, generally, mostly in person. But that's why the podcast works so well, is because at a distance, I feel at least 6 or 7 hours of safety between us.
Sometimes it's still not enough. All right, let's talk about.
So what do you think? What do you think about this? If you had an idea, if you had a startup, if you had a plugin, if there's something that you wanted to do.
And I told somebody about it and they did it.
Oh, no, I don't care about that. That sucks, but okay. I don't care about that. I think if you had an idea and you wanted to be the next, would you just try to write a better, make a better mousetrap? Or would you try to market a new mousetrap? Like, would you ask for help in getting it off the ground, or would you just keep doing the old thing? Do you think this is a good idea that people would use, or what do you think?
I'd probably do my best to find a partner who's maybe in a similar situation, maybe with the same idea, maybe with the same drive, maybe even perhaps somebody in the market who is not top tier, but take a look at Ninja Forms. I mean, Gravity right. Forms is
exactly,
you know, the bee's knees of forms plugins in the WordPress space. And then Ninja Forms comes and they've created they've carved out a nice little market for themselves. And yep. Then take a look at the WP
proves the point, really, that Syed can ship a successful product, right? Like he can
in a crowded market. He can make a name for himself in a crowded market.
Exactly. And like, who can do that? There's not a lot of people that I could name in the WordPress ecosystem space that have like proven track record of being able to jump into some place where there's millions of users.
Who's your backer, J-Trip? Who is that?
with board members or investors that will provide them the things that they're lacking, that they're missing. And so it's like you said, it's you want to seek out people that you work well with, but that also fill in your gaps. And like the Carrie and I don't have kids, but we've watched a lot of our friends that have, I mean, I jokingly say probably too many kids, but
this is, and what you're describing is kind of what Tony Schneider was to a very young Matt Mullenweg back when Automatic first started.
I think that is an outstanding.
Already had the experience with Yahoo. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly.
To help them out. Speaking of ideas, I don't know if good idea, great idea, exceptional idea, Gutenberg.
I think it's a good idea.
It's a good idea that needs work, and there's work being done. As every week on Gutenberg. Right. So in WordPress 4.9.8, which was a maintenance type release, but it was kind of a big deal because for the first time, we've been hinting about this for a long time, is they had the Try Gutenberg callout. Now, this is a prompt set up for a specific subset of users, but within the first 72 hours of the prompt being displayed to users. Gutenberg installs went up to more than 80,000, which was a 300% increase. And the plugin's been downloaded more than 147,000 times, at least within that week, soon after the prompt came out. So there's a lot of feedback. So this is the feedback time, right?
This is the feedback
time. And if you were to just look at the one-star reviews, or just the reviews themselves on the plugin, there's a lot of negative feedback and criticism that came in about Gutenberg. And it's and speaking of feedback, there was in the article, and this is on the article on the Tavern, there's about 133 comments now, and a lot of negative criticism towards Gutenberg is on the post. There's Gutenberg, right. So it's like Twitter, the place where you go to say that you enjoy, that you like the idea of Gutenberg, and nowhere else. I don't know. Should not be. There is a number of people who that's when I've really kind of got some of these one-star reviews going, and they've never been, since they never get reset, they just sort of pile on, and it's kind of a false representation, really, of the editor to maintain the editor and delay the transition to Gutenberg, right. And actually they're doing the responsible thing.
Right.
You know, by having the classic editor installed, because their site is not ready yet, and because these reviews they're not indicative of they see the potential. They actually Gutenberg is that for them as it stands. Now look, there's still a lot of work that has to be done in Gutenberg. It's still rough around the edges, the user interface, the experience. There's buttons and tool tabs and clicks that you
hit. Nobody really knew how much it was going to bump them, but it happened. So that's good. It's fine. Like things like that, where whether or not you are going to like the thing.
As I described the comment, I said the comments and the reviews are just a metric. You're nothing really more than that. It's just a metric of the bigger scope, the bigger picture.
Yep.
And you have to read them, and you have to take into account what they're saying. But it's not it's not the end all be all. Of the project or the
probably for certain that this is not a fake news anti-Gutenberg smear campaign. This is just people that are unhappy with Gutenberg, right? So at least we know that this isn't
for 5 minutes. Tried it out, hate it.
Yeah, right. Lost in shipping. One star. I don't know. Like at least they used it and is unhappy with what they see so far. It's not, and that is. Even automatic's credo with feedback and oxygen and all those things, like this is good. Getting people to use it, getting it in people's hands, is good. It is, and it is not always super easy to do a public beta, because you get a little bit less bug fixing and you get a lot more reinvention. But at the end of the day, it's going to end up okay. And having everyone test it the way they have been so far will ultimately yield a better piece of software. So I would say a huge thank you to the brave people that have tested Gutenberg them, and then they provided feedback, hopefully. They're the heroes here, because they are not necessarily the people listening to this BP test.
let's talk about
if I had to review you, Jeff.
But Mythic, which I kept reading as Mystic, but it's actually Mythic. It's a WordPress starter theme by Justin Tadlock. It's still an open beta. And for those who don't know, Justin Tadlock, he's the founder of Theme Hybrid, one of the longest running sort of theme clubs out there. He's also got the Hybrid Core framework. He's released something called Mythic, which is a start WPRig.io by Morten Rand Hendrickson and Rachel Cherry. This is a similar type of project where they it's a different build tools, different process, but it's pretty much the same goal. SAS, LESS, CSS, and Stylus. Developers can choose which language they prefer for builds. ES6 was chosen for JavaScript. And the nice thing about that is ES6 is what's commonly used for building Gutenberg blocks.
That's right.
So you sort of have that built in. It comes with BEM, which I've understood to be Block Element Modifier, which is a methodology that enables developers to create reusable elements and sharing code in front-end environments. The starter theme also uses Webpack in combination with Laravel Mix to manage assets and modules. And something else here that I think you might enjoy is that Mythic has an extended view class that allows theme authors to use the preferred folder structure. And it allows theme authors can add custom data to theme templates. And according to Tadlock, these are two features that are not part of WordPress's native templating system.
Right.
So he enhanced the view class there for his particular starter theme. And while he was working on this, he also was working on Hybrid Core. And I think Hybrid Core has seen a complete rewrite and is a required dependency that is added via Composer with Mythic. So there you have it. And he's also experimenting a little bit with some prices where you can get Mythic on GitHub for free right now. And Justin is hoping that those who build projects for clients and generate a profit can make a $99 sponsorship purchase. And for commercially sold themes, he's asking for $199. And both of those packages come with 1 year of support and access to the company's Slack channel. He says he's still taking feedback on the payment system. It could change, but kind of a little of experimentation going on there.
For I think it's cheap. Like, Justin is one of these. He's been doing this independently longer than literally almost everybody. And he gives an enormous amount of his effort away for free. So I think that's pretty cheap.
Yeah, and he's also been an awesome educator in the WordPress space with his tutorials and articles. That's one of the reasons, one of the main reasons I know of him in the WordPress space is if you go to his blog, he's got a lot. He takes complicated subjects and turns them into something that I can understand. I don't know what it was. It took me forever. Tadlock helped me out with that.
Justin does a good job of naming stuff too, and his sites are always pretty. I really like his approach to shipping new ideas and products, and he the whole theme hybrid that he like brand and direction that he kind of knew what he wanted to do and how he wanted to do it, and he's been continuing to iterate on all of that for all of the past at least 10 years. So this is the next evolution of that, and he is right on schedule with shipping it. So my kudos to Justin for all this.
So there are theme frameworks out there. I mean, there's the Genesis framework. There is the underscores starter theme. Mm-hmm. But now if you look at WP Rig and you look at Mythic, these starter themes take things up a notch where they come with
absolutely
their own
right
sort of build tools and processes. Yep. So, I mean, I guess this is the evolution of theme building where you get a whole build process out of the box for your theme and sits out of the box.
This is you going to the hardware store and buying the tools you need to complete the job. And
I mean,
sometimes it is a kit. Sometimes you need a dump truck, right? Like sometimes you need a hammer. And so underscores can be your hammer. And then sometimes you need something like WP Rig or Mythic because you actually do need the dump truck version of this. And so using Laravel Mix, I mean, just like we talked about earlier, like there's room for there to be many. There are so many different approaches to building themes. Multiple approaches. Everyone will. He is into what he's into. He teaches himself everything he needs to know. He shares everything it is that he learns, and then he commits to it around it.
The Advanced Custom Fields project. Now they say that the meta boxes have been pushed down all the way to the bottom of the screen in an awkward attempt to retain compatibility, but that's actually. The ACF is introducing its own ACF blocks, an ACF underscore register underscore block function that allows developers to register their own custom blocks without having to learn JavaScript. And there was just developers just threw their hands up in the air, and there's all this cheering going on Twitter. So there you go. It says, quote, one of the big selling points of Gutenberg is the ability for developers to create custom blocks. The challenge is that the process is very JavaScript intensive and not so friendly to PHP developers. Right. But never fear, because ACF Blocks is here to turn that narrative upside down. And it says, we've been hard at work building a PHP-friendly game changer for you to quickly create new block types using ACF fields to power PHP templates. So even for someone like me, if you look at the code example and what they're working on, it allows you to create Gutenberg blocks without having to learn or know JavaScript so deeply.
Block or codes to blocks, and so I wonder how much code that their implementation shares with Gary's, because again, there's a lot of ways you can do this, but what's the way with Roy is that they prove me wrong, and it's a big deal. Like there's a lot of work that generally goes into making any code base like Advanced Custom Fields or CMB2 or any of those, to try and move all of that. Gravity Forms, the same thing. Move all of that to Gutenberg. You have to move 10 years worth of ideas into Custom Fields. Folks, for doing this, it's cool.
So, EFOX, I hope, is it FX? 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 It's probably EFOX. The creators of TinyMCE, they have rebranded to Tiny Technologies Incorporated, and I'll give John some time to make a pun.
It's so cute.
There you go. And so the name change actually provides an at-a-glance view of what the company does and establishes a tighter relationship with its flagship product, that being the TinyMCE editor, which has actually been at WordPress for more than 10 years now.
10 years.
So in addition to the name change, the company has migrated its web presence to a new domain. I didn't know this TLD existed, but it's tiny.cloud.
It's cool, right? Yeah.
Which is actually...
Some of the cloud domains are not cheap. When I noticed those, I was like, wow, I get a cloud domain. That's neat. Oh, I'm not spending that for that. There's no way.
So if you're an existing customer or vendor of EFOX Corporation, you don't need to do anything different since the company is registered to do business under both names. And Andrew Roberts, the CEO and co-founder of Tiny, says that work is being done at TextBox.io, which is the company's mobile-first text editor. And within the future, they see TextBox.io merging with TinyMCE. So eventually they'll have one editor that works across all sorts of devices. Now, TinyMCE is an open source project. It's licensed under LGPL 2.1. And there you have it. So a little rebrand for FX, which now I don't have to worry about mispronouncing anymore. I could just say Tiny.
Tiny. Tiny Technologies. It's adorable. I love it.
Okay.
You know, what's next, though? Teeny. Teeny Technologies. Pico. Nanotechnologies.
Teeny Tiny.
A teenier, tinier editor. There is teeny mode. You know, TinyMCE has the teeny, like the slim down mode where it doesn't give
you all the opposite of the kitchen sink.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, teeny. I've seen that. All right. So this next article and this next discussion is it's a bit serious.
I can feel your pain going into this. There really is no segue for you. You can't.
No, it's. Yeah.
Go from all of this positivity to this.
The New York Times published an article titled "This Company Keeps Lies About Sandy Hook on the Web." It was written by I'm not even going to try to pronounce names. It was written by two contributing authors to the New York Times, and it's about Leonard Posner, who is the father of a child that was killed in the Sandy Hook disaster. How would you describe? What happened to the school, disaster, the mass school shooting?
Disaster is appropriate.
At Sandy Hook. And what he's trying to do is he's trying to erase online conspiracy theories that the death of his 6-year-old son, Noah, who's a victim of the Sandy Hook tragedy, was a hoax. Mm-hmm. And even Alex Jones, who has been in the news all over the place lately, right. Host of InfoWars, mm-hmm. he's been a stark denier, and he's been one of the people generating and contributing to these conspiracy theories. And a lot of these posts and social media are using images of Leonard's son in very upsetting. I mean, it's a terrible thing to do.
Yeah. It's completely dehumanizing the tragedy behind the whole thing, and it's a real person that you love that is being used against you, right? Like, it is so nonsensical and shameful that I think we all get that that's what it is, and that's what makes this a sensitive topic, is just how unprepared that people are to quantify and define and accept and live with the things that are happening around an event like this, right?
So Mr. Posner, he's been flagging videos and posts on a variety of social media platforms, trying to get things taken down, right. Trying to clean up the search results for his son to make sure that there's credible content there that people are searching for instead of all these conspiracy theories. Mm-hmm. Twitter has been statements that the New York Times gathered from Automattic. Automattic says that posting conspiracy theories or untrue content is not banned from WordPress.com. And unfortunately, this is one of those situations. They go on to say that it is a truly awful situation, and we are sympathetic to the Posner family. And further on to the article, Automattic gave some other statements. So Automax is a large company. They deal with complaints and these claims all the time, copyright claims. They have semi-automated processes and documents that are old, a canned response, something that was non-sympathetic and time. And they say that fair use could include criticism, comments, news reporting, teaching, scholarship, and research. And they also warn in that document that the company could collect damages from people who knowingly materially misrepresent copyrights, which they have done before in the past. And so here in this quote, Mr. Posner says, "They have taken this incorrect interpretation of freedom of speech to an extreme." And he says that the only thing WordPress has taken out and where he's been successful is when someone posts personal information like his driver's license or address. Mm-hmm. So this goes on earlier this week, basically due to an angry mob, other social media from their platforms. And this opens up a very important conversation. People's and your values by allowing these things to stay on their service despite all of the anger that could be generated when other people have their voice publicized on your site to be doing this because of the harm that it puts towards Mr. Posner's family and the continued mm-hmm. anguish of the death of his son. So, I mean, we get to a point here where it's such a touchy subject, John. And
yeah,
I know you're working on. You said something earlier, and maybe you can talk about sort of the core of the issue for you with this.
So aside from it, like, really have words to define this type of human expression. Like, we don't happy, sad, depressed, whatever. We have words for things that make it easy. This obvious name. Figuring it out too, but the definition of democracy is to purposefully provide an or no even exist in the world. But if we remove freedom of speech, if we don't have that, because he right, exactly. I don't know that there is.
And it's also a bit concerning to me that this over the past few years, I mean, if you piss off a large,
doing their best and doing the right thing, like we put locks on our doors, but if you really wanted to break into a house, you'd use the window. You'd break a window. You're not using the door. And so a lot of what the standards are really only there to keep honest people honest. They're not going to keep out a truly dishonest or person. So if someone is going to spread rumors or lies or misinformation, they're going to do it. It's just that usually we have been better as a society at course correcting when that misinformation or when that happens. We go, oh no, that's not right. There's no way that's.
It doesn't seem that way. It seems like when you limit freedoms, you have no freedoms at all.
I think if they were talking about me, I would probably feel differently.
And right? These services, they're private, and they all have terms of service. And at least in this case, Automattic was very clear and that the content that they wanted to have removed did not violate their terms of service.
I think until you've kind of experienced the tragedy yourself, you have a hard time really appreciating the emotions and the roller coaster that people go through. And so we make a lot of assumptions about people based on how they communicate or represent themselves or the things they say or the company they keep. We do all these things. There's like complicated human situations that we aren't good at dealing with right now. And so if Sandy Hook, if I were directly involved with that tragedy, I don't know what I would do or how I would react, right? Like on a personal level, it's hard to say. But I know that like in my opinion, regardless of like even earlier, like personally, I don't feel that like I like Syed, so I'm not going to drag him or his idea through the mud. Right. Like I want to be friends with him because I think that he's a good person who provides value to WordPress and in the world. And so I have nothing bad to say about him. It's just, this is a thing that I experienced. And so I'm going to share my version of the facts, I guess. There are places where, of course I know who George Carlin is, like one of the greatest philosophers of our time.
I mean,
That's right.
So I don't know if you look at privileges,
that whole
look
skin, at the system, that whole thought of his, the rest of it that we're not going to say,
right.
is I feel like has a lot of truth to it, and insight and everything else.
And so much of his stuff that he said in the past is super relevant even today.
It's amazing. But between George Carlin and Run DMC, everything that you go back, is all still the same and relevant. And, Martin Luther King Jr., things, all of that stuff is the same or worse in some instances. But so I don't know. Like if I had a platform and it was if Twitter was mine, what would I?
Would you listen to a bunch of angry people who want one thing to be done? I mean, would you do it or would you? I mean, put yourself in Automattic shoes. Democratizing publishing, allowing anybody and everybody that is able to to publish onto the open web. Now you have policies in place. There's some other things, but you know, there's fair use and some of the other stuff. But I mean, if a bunch of angry people were upset by someone maybe posting an opinion that so many people don't disagree with, do you listen to them and say, okay, well, get off the platform because I don't want all these angry people, you know, protesting our company or boycotting or going after our advertisers?
You basically, like, by not being free, you accidentally start wars by censoring people, I guess. And the reason why I think,
you know, we're not experts on all this. We're just two people sharing opinions and our thoughts on this. So don't
I'm wrong more than I'm right, and I have barely. I don't know. So, but the interesting thing about the legal response and kind of the obligation you have to a very human kind of response and outlook, but on a small scale, on with Robert's rules of just how we choose to run our board meetings at a village level or a planning commission level, all the way up to what, you know, the city of New York and their commissioner meetings. There is time for citizen participation, but board members shouldn't respond to the things that happen during that period of time because they're not following the rules or on the publicly posted agenda. And so we will have people that are important to the community that have educated meeting. And all I can really do is thank them because I can't, as a board member, discuss things that are not publicly posted for a hearing or for other people to know that we might be talking about so that they can be involved in the discussion also. We have to stick to a company who's trying to stay in business and keep the promises that they've made to users.
I want to see you at a council meeting. What? You disagree? Have her removed, please.
Well, and I don't. To appeal it. And then you go to appeals court. And then, work companies getting fired. There's a lot of ways where you can choose to feel like you have a person. Or if you don't have the freedom to speak out against that, or if there isn't an appeals process for folks to say, hey, automatic, pull this down, or hey, Twitter, this is offensive, or if there were no tools, it would be a bad deal. But if there's only tools and all we're doing is just is policing one another and the things that we think are offensive or that we don't agree with or that we they're that we add one it is the kind of communication that we want on our and be able to dismiss that or put that in a separate area where that is. If we make that the option all the time, then a lot of people get caught up in that don't belong there.
And you're going to start seeing one side of a narrative.
That's right. And then when you only see that one side
of the Sandy Hook, and my condolences to everybody else affected by that senseless tragedy and, useful advice for everybody. Don't be an asshole. Don't be Alex Jones. And there you go. Be Alex Jones. And
who
probably be on a,
who
that's half the battle.
Who wants a war on information? It doesn't make any sense to me.
I don't know.
It's a bad name.
He's made a career off of it. And there are so many people out there who take it. It's like, it's a little bit like religion. There's so many people who look at him as the gospel. They believe everything he says, and he is the arbiter of truth. And it's so ridiculous. You know, people need to wake up.
When I was a kid, and I would stay up too late watching terrible TV, I remember watching the Rush Limbaugh show and not knowing what he was talking about. I was a kid. I have no idea who this guy is. But I knew he was kind of full of crap when I was watching him as a kid. And so there have been a few commentators or pundits, and I feel sources, these information sources, your own eyes that you're seeing the world through, perspective, and see if they can come up with a version of democratizing publishing that includes safety for all, or maybe, I don't know. If people were targeting my life experiences as saying they didn't happen or they weren't true, or I'd be pretty upset, and it would be hard to not live with the weight of that literally all day, every day. You wake up with it, you go to bed with it. There's nothing you can do. It's like a toothache that is just with you all the time, and so that is. That is how a lot of this feels. It just feels like a terrible toothache.
So people can find Sean. Man, what a show! People can find Sean us for this episode.
Oof, and all I feel like we need to like spin this positive at the end. We can't leave listeners hanging like this. What else can we talk about? That's like a good. Is there like a WordCamp coming up that you're excited about or anything? I know you're not going to any the rest of the year.
Man, good news.
Smokey's doing better. He's out and
he's actually going to start a new life as a full-time quilter.
Wow.
And fabric shop owner. And if anybody, you should definitely check out some of the WordPress, some of the quotes he's made out of WordPress t-shirts. They're pretty awesome. So congrats.
When
Andrea.
Did that happen? How did I miss that?
I was on Twitter. You know, you got to look on Twitter. Are you banned from Twitter? Have you been removed from Twitter? I tried to get you removed. Not.
I've just been bozoed into Twitter, where all of my tweets just go off into the ether for nobody to see.
So congrats to Andrea.
Oh, that's super good.
Now we can end the show.
On the show notes for this episode. Andrea, that's awesome.
And all other episodes on WPTavern.com. Follow me on Twitter at JeffForJFFR0. John?
I don't think anyone should follow me anymore. Hit up on Twitter at JJJ and JJJ.blog, where I try to keep it a little bit less controversial than this episode has been.
Yeah, what a sometimes you got to talk about this stuff. But
that's right. No, I think it's good to talk about this stuff, but by no means does anybody look to us for solutions.
It scares me talking about things like this, because if you say something that's wrong or an opinion that so many people just go nuts over, like get like infuriated over, now you have to deal with an angry internet mob, and don't ever be in the crosshair of an angry internet mob, because then you get doxxed and then they start messing with your life and things just go down here really fast.
That's well, and you get hit with the comments on the tavern on like a daily basis. So you see it from a perspective that I think is hard for some folks to maybe relate to, but.
Well, if I get any of those comments, I'll read, I'll do comments on the tavern with Jeff wrote next week on WordPress Weekly. I'll get back to reading.